Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I hope you had a great weekend. This is Apostle Debbie Viggs. Wanted to get started this morning with our usual prayer in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise. We give you all the glory and honor. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your blessing upon our lives. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your goodness in our lives. Thank you for bringing us back this week, Lord God, and for watching over us. This morning, Lord, we take this time to pray Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14 over ourselves. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, in advance for praying with us and through us. And so, Lord, we pray that we may, for this reason, Lord, from the day that we have heard of this prayer, we make it a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight, and into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. We ask, Lord, that we may walk, live, and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. I thank you, Father God, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion, which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And Father, you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. For all this, we are grateful and we give you praise, Father. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Spirit of the living God. And it is in Jesus' mighty name with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, today I wanted to start by sharing with you how to follow God's plan for your life. And this is really a word of encouragement for someone out there. You know, we are in the last week of January, you know, of this first month, 2018, we've so far gone through 5 weeks. This will be our fifth week of this month. And I know that usually this month is not an easy month for a lot of people. There's a lot of attacks on your life, especially in the financial realm, you know, and it could be attacks in other areas as well. We all experienced those similar attacks. And I just felt, you know, led the entire weekend that I needed to just share a word of encouragement with someone, especially if you are in this particular situation dealing with, especially when you know you've received a word from the Lord and it doesn't seem like it's working out or it's, you know, coming to pass the way God ordained for it to come to pass. Now, I want us to start looking first at the book of Hebrews chapter 10. There's a verse here that the Lord laid upon my heart, you know, on Friday that I wanted to share with you all this morning. And it's Hebrews chapter 10. I want to first read it from the King James Version in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. The Bible says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions." I also want to read it from the Amplified, which says, "Be ever mindful of the days gone by in which after you were first spiritually enlightened, you endured a great and painful struggle." What is this talking about? It's saying, it's really talking to us about, you know, having received a word from the Lord that gives you the exact direction that you need in life. And so you step out, you know, and I can relate to this scripture because I was looking back as I was praying and thanking God on Friday and meditating that's how this scripture came about. I recall that God has always worked with me in phases of 10 years. The first time he spoke to me about getting into ministry or becoming a pastor was in 1997. Then in 2007 is when he spoke to me about getting into full-time ministry. And so I've completed, as of the end of last year, just completed the second phase of the time that God has been speaking to me, which is the second phase of my 10-year phases. So I'm starting a third phase now, and I know and I can sense it, and I knew this even when we're getting towards the end of last year. I could sense it in the atmosphere that God was taking me to another level in this third phase of my life in terms of, you know, full-time. Well, not only full-time will be my second phase, my second 10-year phase, but in my third phase of him having called me, just like when he called Abraham. Now, one of the things that you won't see, with the exception of Apostle Paul's life, is that in many of the people that received a word from the Lord and went out, other than David as well, you're not going to see a lot of the challenges. You know, like with Abraham, we see the challenge of, okay, there was a famine and this, and there was a challenge of waiting. And that too was a serious challenge. There was a challenge of having to wait for a child. But in the meantime, we only know of that part, but we don't know the other areas of what he faced. And so sometimes it's helpful when you're dealing with stuff in your life to look at people like Abraham and people like David and people like Apostle Paul, and to, you know, you'll find that there's answers there that can be encouraging unto you. So I recall when God spoke to me in the second phase, which was now in 2007, and he said to now I needed to prepare to leave my full-time job, you know, that I worked in the world, and to step out and follow him and do full-time ministry. I heard the word clearly. I even took 5 weeks off of work just to pray and hear from God. And I mean, I was surrounded by men of God who could hear from God, and God had gone through and done miracles in their lives. So it wasn't like I was just stepping out and stepping up. But, you know, I recall we had the pastor visiting us in our home, and the same pastor that ordained me as a pastor, he had also heard from God. I mean, that's a different story altogether, a miracle on its own, and how God brought him. But the point I'm making is everything was fine up until the point I said yes. And the minute I stepped out, it seemed like all hell broke loose. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. I mean, it just didn't even make sense. Things were just getting out of hand, and they were so bad that I couldn't even understand it. And I mean, I remember times I would sit down, get on my knees, cry to God and say, Lord, did I call myself, you know, or did you call me? And I mean, outside of having, you know, the voices, other voices come in and chime in and say, oh, you've made a mistake. This is crazy. I recall when I was leaving my job, my HR manager actually thought that I was under pressure and feeling stressed out. And because that year, the prior years, there had been a big thing about stress going on. People were stressed and people were taking their lives and all that stuff. So she immediately thought I was stressed out. And she's like, oh, you need to take time off. I said, I just came off of 5 weeks leave. You know, I don't need to take time off. And she couldn't understand what I meant when I said that I was going to go and serve the Lord. And, you know, for her, that just didn't make sense. It's like, how are you going to manage? How are you going to live? I said, well, God will provide. She just couldn't understand it. And so she didn't really accept my resignation that day. She said, just take time off, you know, and go and get some rest and then come back refreshed. But you see, it was because at that point, again, the enemy was going to use whatever other voices out there to hinder what God had, the plan God had for my life. And so, of course, when I stepped out, it was really, like I said, all hell broke loose and things really went left. I mean, everything broke down, just didn't make sense. And I would ask the Lord on several occasions, Lord, did I call myself? And he says, no, you're in the right place. Well, God, I'm hearing the Lord say I'm in the right place, but the circumstances didn't make sense. And I could not understand what I was going through. And I'll tell you, it's taken me this far to understand exactly what I was going through. Towards the last year of my, and I mean, I understood parts of it as I was going through it. I mean, all these years, I would reflect on it and pick out lessons of what God wanted me to learn. But it wasn't up until the last year, which was 2017, that I fully understood. And I'm sure I'm not yet there, but I fully understood exactly what God was talking about. And that's what brings us to this scripture here. Be ever mindful of the days gone by, in which, after you were first spiritually enlightened, you endured a great and painful struggle. And I'll tell you, for me, it was a great and painful struggle. It wasn't a joke. It not only affected me, it affected my family. And so I can relate with people who are going through some situations right now. And I want to encourage you, because the devil wants you to give up. He wants you to cave in. He wants you to quit. And you can't do that. The reason why is you need to understand why you're going through what you're going through. Well, so if it seems like all hell has broken loose in your life right now and the craziest circumstances have erupted, you know, challenging the word that God has given you, I want you to be very encouraged, because you are on the right track. That means you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You see, I always say, if you are not a threat, the devil has nothing to do with you. So if you tell me, oh, well, I'm not seeing any attacks and everything, that means you're not a threat to the devil's kingdom. He only attacks those who he feels threatened by, especially in the kingdom, especially those who are following God's plan for their lives. He will attack you to stop you. I mean, for me, the attacks it wasn't really just upon me, my life. It was my health. It was my finances, you name it. And that's the one area that he knows, if he can stop you in your finances, if he can stop you in your health, then that means he's done. So he sets up all these, you know, plans and strategies, and sets up ammunition, he will send out his entire battalion if he has to stop one person from fulfilling the purpose and plan that God has for their lives. And so be encouraged. Yeah, this scripture here is telling us that a spiritual fight, you know, will usually ensue, and it occurs especially when you were first spiritually enlightened to the plan that God has for your life. So the minute you understand God's plan for your life, there is a spiritual battle. There's going to be a major warfare that will take place. Now, it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, the plan for your entire life. Absolutely not. It could even be a word that God has given you for this particular season. And the minute you understand that word for you, you've been praying about something and God gives you a word of encouragement. And the minute you receive that word and you understand it, immediately this spiritual fight will occur. And so I want us to look at this word, this great and painful struggle. It's actually a Greek word, which means, this word great, it actually means huge and enormous by degree, or an enormous degree or significant. By using this particular word, I believe the Apostle Paul, who I believe was the writer of Hebrews, tells us that sometimes spiritual conflicts accompany a word of divine direction from God. And they're not normally challenges of little consequence that can be easily overcome with minimal effort. In fact, the attacks are usually significant attacks, the kind of trials that require all of your determination to hold fast onto and not to give up. You see, so it's great, it's significant, but it's a fight. You know, King James used the word, you know, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Amplified just says great and painful struggle. And I know a lot of people can relate to great and painful struggle. Amen. And so this struggle there is actually talking about the word fight.
So it basically tells us that if this, once you receive this word from the Lord, it may throw you into one of the greatest challenges of your entire life. You'll feel like you've just entered, you know, a boxing ring, and you're, you know, competing and fighting for, you know, you're in a, you know, in a fight that you never signed up for. But this is what the enemy does. He comes in immediately to fight that word that God has given you. You know, and one of the things when I recall is when I was under attack, not only were my finances heavily attacked, but my health was heavily attacked to the point where I had, you know, suffered paralysis on my left side, which in the ER, they said I'd suffered, you know, I had suffered a stroke. But thank God, because I knew the word and stood on the word, the Lord brought me out of that. And, you know, 3 days later, I was completely healed. But again, that was a battle. And why was it in the area of my finances and in the area of my health? Well, because God had called me to healing ministry. So the enemy knew that if he could fight me in my health, he would either, you know, first he started with my finances, and when he failed there, when he realized that I was still going strong and still pushing through, he now figured, well, let's attack her in her health. And on my health, he has tried on several occasions, because he felt that if we can take her out in her health, then she won't do this healing ministry. She won't minister healing and deliverance to others. And it got worse, especially with the deliverance ministry. So yes, the word of the Lord that comes, it will be attacked. And so this word here, painful struggle, is actually the same word that is used in King James, which is afflictions. And it usually refers to mental pressure or to suffering that affects the mind. Now, this isn't talking about a mental sickness. It's actually pointing to a war that you will experience in your soul, or an attack on your mind. And so you can be sure that once you take that stance of faith in response to the plan of God for your life, in response to a word that you've received from God, every possible negative thought will come against your mind. Not only that, the devil will use people and circumstances to thwart the plan that God has for your life. He'll use those closest to you, especially your loved ones, that can tell you anything they can tell you, and he will use them. He will try to affect your mind with all kinds of negative thoughts and accusations, and he'll do everything that he can to get you to give up, to cave in and quit, to not follow through and focus on the word that God has given you, or focus on that plan that God has for your life. You recall when Apostle Paul was talking to his spiritual son, Timothy, Timothy was going through some severe challenges in his and through with his ministry and in the church, that and Apostle Paul had raised him up to that was God's plan for his life. He was called to pastor this particular group of people, and he was getting attacked by the same people that he was supposed to minister to, and so many different negative things were happening. And so he really needed encouragement from Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul was writing back to him, and he's saying to him, he says, you know, you call to remembrance the imitations I gave you. He actually said that, you know, he should remember the prophecies. He says to him, you should recall the prophecies that I gave to you. And these prophecies were given to you so that you could wage a good warfare. Amen. He was telling him that, yeah, that prophetic word, you know, the prophetic words that I gave you, it's not just for you to make you happy. These prophetic words that I was giving you were to help you in the warfare, to help you wage warfare, you know, in this plan that God has for your life. And that's why, you know, it's always good to have someone in your corner who can encourage you, you know, someone who understands the journey that you're with. And I thank God that during that time that I was going through what I was going through, God raised up a mighty woman of God. Now she's gone home to be with the Lord, but she was one that encouraged me. I could talk to her about everything. I mean, I was able to pick up the phone and call her or text her, and she would let me know, and she was in prayer with me and for me, and she was guiding me along, and she was holding my hand. Basically, though she lived in Minnesota and I was, you know, in Maryland at the time, but I tell you, it was powerful. It was she was one that every time I wanted to give up and cave in and quit, God would give her a word for me, and she would call me and say, oh, the Lord told me. I remember one time I wanted to pack my bags and run back to Africa. I thought, well, you know, Africa will be easier for me. You know, I won't have to deal with this. I'm running away like Jonah. And quickly God called. I didn't tell anybody. I just was planning this in my heart, and God revealed it to her in a vision. And then she called me first thing in the morning, and she says, well, the Lord woke me up at 4 this morning, and he was showing me that you're planning on running away, and you want to pack your bags and leave and go to Africa. And well, I want to tell you, the Lord says if you leave and go to Africa before he releases you to go to Africa, you're on your own. I'm like, dang, I didn't tell anybody. And she's like, you didn't have to tell anybody. The Lord knows the plan. He says he wants you to stay put and don't ever set foot outside of the country or anywhere without checking with the Lord. And so from that time, I've always been mindful of that. I will not go places. Even when I get invitations, I'm so scared to just accept. I have to ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to go? Is this you? I don't just quickly say, oh, yeah, I'll do it. No, I go back and check with the Lord. I've refused and turned down so many things where the Lord said, no, it's not time. No, it's not time. If I didn't receive that word from her that day, I would have probably been all over the place by now. And can you imagine the attacks that would have come in my life? Anyhow, wanted to show you that in terms of life, when you look at Apostle Paul's life, that's the life that I can relate to the most when I look at the Word of God. David is one that somebody might probably relate to. God called him, he was anointed by the prophet, and he received a horn of oil immediately after that. I mean, David was minding his own business. He was out there, taking care of sheep. Then he gets called into the house and he's anointed. God has selected him for this particular, position of taking up and being king. And immediately before he could even sit on the throne, all these battles ensued. Saul was after him, wanting to kill him, and he had to be running for his life before he could actually sit on the throne. So that was a great battle that when I look at this verse here, this great battle ensued it occurred in David's life, where he received the word that he was supposed to be the next king, and a great and painful struggle occurred in his life, because of that particular word, because of that plan. When I look at Apostle Paul's life, God's plan for Paul was so huge. It was a plan that would take him to the farthest ends of the world, and it would guide him through that same word, that same plan would guide him through, difficult and dangerous places. But it took more than wishful thinking for Apostle Paul to fulfill the vision that God had given him. It required a lot of patience and hard work and endurance on Paul's part to be able to, get through. Now, can you imagine there were times he talked about how he experienced difficulties, hardships, and when you read his accounts in the epistles, he experienced a lot of hardships. He went through so many different challenges. You talk of being shipwrecked, you talk of being, going hungry for days and not having provision and all those things. You talk of all that. He went through all kinds of difficulties. And yet, he never took his eyes off of the plan that God had for his life. And so another person we can relate to is Jesus. Jesus experienced this type of great and painful struggle, this type of attack when he hung on the cross. He selflessly laid down his own life for us. When he was hung on the cross, if you recall, the soldiers and other criminals around, they were hurling horrible, slanderous, statements at him. But Jesus pushed aside all those assaults and that came against his soul, and he endured. He committed his life and destiny into the Father's hands. And so if you've received a word from God for your life, if you're dealing with challenges right now, if you're dealing with attacks right now, you're feeling like you've been thrown into a fight, you've been thrown into the fire and you don't know what to do. Well, I'm telling you that you are in the right place where God needs you to be. Be encouraged. It is a clear signal that you've received a real word from the Lord. you must be right on track, because the devil is terribly concerned about what will happen if you actually act on that word that God has given you. And so my encouragement to you is, don't back down. Don't surrender to his vicious lies in your mind. Don't surrender to his attacks on your body. Don't surrender. Don't give in and cave in and give up, especially to the challenges on your finances, or, you know, the assaults in your relationships, regardless of whatever he tries to do, regardless of how much resistance he tries to bring against you. You cannot give up, cave in, or quit. You know, if you do that, then you're giving up on, you know, God. You're saying that, God, you know, I don't believe you can take care of me. I don't believe that you can, you know, protect me or deliver me from this. Now, listen, if the word that you received from God wasn't a true word, there would be nothing for the devil to challenge. But if the word that you've received is a true word from God, let me tell you, yes, you will be in for the fight of your life, because the enemy will not want you to see true manifestation of that word of God. But I can encourage you that if you stay put, if you pray, one thing that I realized, especially when I was dealing with, you know, my challenges then, and even now when the enemy attacks me, is that I would pray. Now, you know, praying in, you know, our English language, you might pray 10, 15 minutes and you think you've prayed for an hour. But if you pray in the spirit, this is a type of fight where you need to pray in the spirit. And when you pray in the spirit, you know, when you pray in tongues, you'll begin to break things in the spirit realm that you don't even know. You'll begin, you know, you engage angels, warring angels that you don't even understand are out there to help you and to fight for you. And I'm telling you, this is one where you don't pray in the spirit 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour. When you're facing challenges like this, you throw yourself in it. Like I said about Apostle Paul, that in order for him to fulfill the vision, the plan that God had for his life, it required a lot of patience, it requires hard work, and it requires endurance. And so the hard work part is where you now will be in the word. You take that word, you stand on that word, and I mean, you pray it through in the spirit. It's not a thing where you can just say, well, you know, I just prayed that yesterday on Sunday at church, or yeah, you know, I just prayed once, you know, and I prayed this morning when I woke up, and I'll pray again when I go to bed. No, this is one where you will actually just focus on that and be praying in the spirit. I mean, if it takes you 10 hours to pray it in the spirit, you will pray it in the spirit, because this is not a situation. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be the entire plan for your life. It could be that particular word. Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to say, take these prophetic words and wage warfare. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he said, these, you know, remember these prophetic words that I've given you. He says, take these words that I've given you and use them to wage warfare. It was for you to wage a good warfare. What does that mean? The word that he's given you will not come to pass. Usually God will show you the end of a thing. You know, I recall when I was called into full-time ministry, and what really caused me to step out is the vision that God gave me. You know, the vision of stadiums filling up with people, you know, people being healed and set free and delivered. And I mean, I'm talking stadiums. You know, we couldn't, in the vision that God showed me, we couldn't fill up, you know, we couldn't use like hotels or, you know, hotel rooms or smaller venues. We had to use stadiums. So I'm thinking, well, praise God, that I can do. Well, it didn't start out that way. That's the end of the matter. He doesn't tell you what you have to go through. It's like the children of Israel, had he told them that, hey, in order for you to possess the land, you will have to fight, you know, all these different battles. You think they would have left Egypt? They might not have. Same thing with me. If he had told me, oh, you have to go through these severe challenges, I probably would not have accepted the call on my life. So that vision is what keeps you focused. When you see that, that's what encourages you. That's what causes you to be able to keep moving and keep moving and keep fighting. And I'm telling you, if you can just keep focusing on the word that God has given you, you will make it through to the end. And so I pray that you've been blessed by this word. And Lord, I just pray for the people under the sound of my voice this morning, that as they stand in faith to the response to the word that you have given them for their lives, for the plan that you have for their lives, Lord, I thank you that you are with them, and that you're releasing your warring angels to be with them, and you're guiding them and leading them along the path where they need to be. I thank you for provision in their lives. I thank you, Father, for healing and divine deliverance in every area of their lives. I thank you, Lord, that you come against the attacks of the enemy upon their lives and upon the plan that you have for them. And we just give you praise this morning, Lord God, that we will boldly stand and we will not surrender to Satan's lies and attacks on our finances. On our lives, and we thank you that we have victory in every area, and we will see this the plan for our lives fulfilled to the end. And so, Lord, we just give you praise, glory, and honor, and we say thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you all. Have a blessed and prosperous day, and we'll speak again tomorrow. Be blessed. Bye-bye.